Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we help build businesses and we connect you with the right people. I'm your host, Karen Nowicki, and today with me is Andrea Brundage, professional organizer and bringer of calm. With Simplized. That didn't sound simple. With Simple Organized Solutions, LLC. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Karen. It's so good to see you again. It's been a while.
It has been a while. When we met in the lobby, I think we just determined it's been a couple of years since we've been face-to-face.
I think so.
Yeah,
yes.
But we've been in touch via email and on social media and that sort of thing. I know you have a lot of great things to share. What a great title, Bringer of Calm.
Do you like that?
I'm in love with that. And I know this about you, that you are all about calm. Tell us how that came to be.
You know, sometimes things just appear. And that was one of the things that just appeared. It wasn't a sit down, I need to come up with something catchy. Mm-hmm. It was, what do I really do? What do I do? A professional organizer to me is, yeah, sure, that's a start. But what do I really do to help people? And I bring calm to the situation. So I came up with Bringer of Calm. And I have to tell you, it's been fantastic.
Well, it speaks to the benefits of what you do. If in your industry and the work you do, if it's always about organizing it, for some of us, like me on the receiving end, it feels heavy. It feels tiresome. I know I have to do it, but I can't, you know, I can't really connect with that. But Bringer of Calm, hello.
Yes. And if we can tie it to an organized life, whatever that looks like. So being organized is, it's part of it, but it's really a process. It's a lifestyle of staying organized and being very intentional about what we allow in our space, on our calendars, and in our lives.
So it's not just about coming in, helping a client organize a client, or excuse me, organize. Yes, you are organizing the client, but organizing a closet or getting their office paperwork under order. It really is taking a look at what is their lifestyle and who they are and bringing that forward more with calmness.
If that's what they want.
Yeah.
So some people don't want to go down the more, you know, holistic way. But if in fact they are open to, let's look at this as a big umbrella, not just a closet or a drawer or a garage. Let's look at it more of, how is this affecting us and where does it show up in other places in our lives? Where else are we cluttered?
Excellent. So you really do feel into your client and help them determine what their needs are based on where they're at.
Yeah. And I don't try to force the idea that, you know, you'll be a lot calmer inside if your whole life is organized. But in fact, that is how it works.
Absolutely.
Yes.
What would you say, the beyond being calm, what are the biggest benefits to being more organized on a consistent basis?
I think there are three major benefits that I've identified through the years. And one is, it saves you time.
Absolutely.
And if we can calculate time as money, it's pretty clear it also saves you money. But the biggest and most important part, I think, of the benefit is that it enhances peace of mind. It just literally removes stress and tension from our spaces and our heads and our calendars.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So peace of mind, saving time. Mm-hmm. Is there another? And then being calm.
And saving money.
Oh, and well, sure, you did
Absolutely.
Say that. And
it
saving
saves you money.
Yes.
Can
you have an example of how that might work, the saving money piece?
Let's talk about pantries. This is something a lot of people can identify with. We have multiple purchases of the same thing, because we don't know what we have. So we're at the grocery store and we buy another case of
we
pasta.
We just did that the other day, yeah.
Or we buy things that we figure out the kids don't like anymore and it sits in our cabinet and literally goes rancid and now no one can use it. That is not a good use of money or time or space.
I have even a more extreme story about someone I know, which I will not mention on air. They found it challenging to stay up on their laundry. And so they would just go buy more clothes.
Yes.
And is that common?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah. And so would buy more clothes, whether it was socks or undergarments or, you know, more expensive, you know, outerwear to avoid having to do laundry, when in my mind, because laundry has never been an issue for me, but I, and then just that chaos that's all around mm-hmm. that. So that's, Yeah.
It actually is common. You know, when I work in bathrooms, a lot of times I'll find, you know, 5, 6, 10 curling irons and blow dryers. And when you ask the question, it was, well, we went on a trip and forgot it, or I couldn't find it, so I went and bought another one. So these are real stories. This isn't just, this is life for some people.
Yeah.
And it's not expensive.
It is. Mm-hmm. So I'm picturing this bathroom with several curling irons and duplicate products. In creating calm, does it also make sense to, and maybe it's for only some people, get rid of some of the extra stuff too, right? Because we don't really need 6 flat irons.
Right. So the question becomes, which one do you use? Do you need one for backup? And what about these other 4? Well, I don't use those anymore. Can we let them go? Can we forward them on to somebody else who actually needs them? Because apparently you don't, and that's fine. But let's get them out of your house. They can't benefit anyone in here.
Interesting. So mm-hmm. We've talked a little bit about a pantry. We talked a little bit about bathroom yes. clothing. You mentioned garage organization.
Uh-huh.
I would imagine that that's really feels like for your clients something heavy and intense to tackle.
Yes, because it's such a large space,
and oftentimes a large space with uh-huh. with just a floor and walls and a ceiling. Right. I mean, there right. we whether it's a new home or an old home. We don't pull into a garage the day we purchase the home and often have the cabinets and everything all ready to go. It's just this vacant space.
Right. That's so true. And Karen, it's interesting because for most of us, that's our welcome home. So after we've been giving all day long out in the world, we come home and open that garage door. And that's how our home says, welcome home. Where have you been all day? What does that say to us?
Yeah, well, don't take a look at my garage right now because it would say the opposite of that. It'd be shut the door and turn around and leave and move in the other direction.
Go in the front door or yeah. go back to work, which yeah. is what a lot of us do, right? We stay at work. It's more peaceful there.
Interesting.
Isn't that an interesting concept? It's more peaceful at work than it is in our homes.
Oh my gosh. So you get to help shift that for people.
That's my mission in life is to create sanctuaries and supportive spaces for people where they can go and relax and refresh so they can give again tomorrow.
Wow. Sanctuaries. I love the idea of a sanctuary space. I think I've heard you say that before. How long have you been in this business?
Officially, I started my business in 2003.
It's been that long.
It has. I formed it. I didn't actually jump in until I think it was 2006, I think. And we moved from Phoenix up to the White Mountains. And I started in with, you know, going to the chambers and figuring out what my logo would look like and kind of, you know, putting some meat behind the bones.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And are there qualifications to be an organizer? And if so, do you have those qualifications?
There are not qualifications per se. We are not licensed. There is some certification programs that NAPO, which is a National Organization of Professional Organizers, they have a certification program if you choose to go that route. I actually have an MBA program, so I think I feel I'm pretty well qualified to deal with business owners and homeowners as far as, you know, accounting and systems. And I have a long career in accounting and office management.
Well, I think that's really important because mm-hmm. I think the picture that I've had for the few months we've been talking really around home organization, but you can help us find more calm in the structure and the systems of our daily lives as well, and business for that matter.
Absolutely. Yes. I work with both clients, both sets. So we call them niches in this world. In my opinion, what I bring to the table is a process, and it transfers really well across both of those platforms.
Mm-hmm. And are you now, you mentioned that you have purchased your home in the White Mountains. I know you do spend some time there each year, but you're also here in the Valley. Do you have clients throughout Arizona then?
Well, I do, but we actually have sold our home up there.
Oh, you did?
So I am Valley.
I need to catch up to speed. So
yes,
you're here full time again.
I am. I've been down here probably 6 years now.
With the business particularly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just happened to catch those Facebook posts of that beautiful coffee mug on the porch with the pine trees in the background. So
yes, we did have an amazing garden. Talk about Zen. That was my Zen zone. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
But I'm here and I love it here. But I do serve clients across the country. So I can help DIY clients, people who want to do it themselves. I do coaching. And obviously, if it warrants travel, there's travel involved.
So what does that look like if you're working with somebody out of state? Is it video conferences? Is it photos on a phone? Like, can you give us an example of how that might work?
It's a combination of both.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's carry your phone around and we do Skype.
Oh,
so
sure.
So I can actually see the space. Sometimes people aren't comfortable with that, so we'll do it with photos. But either way, having a visual of what they're dealing with is imperative.
Well, sure it is, because yeah. Otherwise, yeah, kind of shooting in the dark. Yes. And you will travel to other states.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Wonderful.
I love to travel. That's part, it's in my blood.
Yes, I know that about you. I think we've kind of alluded to this, but really, who needs a professional organizer? You serve families and people who own homes. Who else would benefit from your services?
So what I like to say is there are magic words that people use who could probably benefit from a professional organizer.
Kind of triggers.
Triggers. One is overwhelmed. One is I need to get organized. We hear that a lot, don't we? And we don't really put a pen on it, but yeah. We hear a lot. I'm so unorganized. I can't find anything in my house. I'm working at the office 24/7.
That's an indicator too.
Absolutely. Why is that? Why are we working at the office 24/7? Could organizational help that?
I'm hearing two things. Could organizational skills and streamlining processes help you at the office, but also when you get home, like we talked about a bit ago, what are you avoiding experiencing at home that might perhaps be calmed?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's far reaching. And I also help transitional situations. So seniors, if they're moving from, say, a home to assisted living or downsizing. So it's really across the board, but it's more about those trigger words.
I would imagine going from, a 3,000 square foot home to a senior living bedroom or little studio, that would really require some gentle care.
I like to call it compassionate care. And sometimes it's nice to have someone in between the family members who can facilitate, because oftentimes the adult children are coming in from out of town and they have 2 days to get it done. And it creates a lot of stress and tension around a relationship that's really precious at this point.
Yes. So to be able to be neutral,
yes,
a neutral facilitator, and be able to speak to the change in the space. But also valuing, you know, the mementos and the things that need to be brought with, but also maybe stored somewhere else. What are the essentials that are needed? Wow, I would imagine that would be an important role for you.
And oftentimes, I mean, we have to be realistic here that the senior is actually, their memories are in the stuff that they're having to let go. So what can we bring forward for them and with them that will make them feel at least part of the life that they've lived? It's really, really important, and it's heart-centered work. But the idea is to, again, create a sanctuary. I don't care how big it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But if are we comfortable there? Do we feel safe and secure there?
Wonderful. So I may have cut you off. There are some words that you hear people use. I'm overwhelmed.
Stressed out. Need to get organized. People who are chronically late and missing appointments could use some perhaps help with time management, with, you know, how they're flowing through their lives.
And that's a piece of this too.
Oh, absolutely.
Simple Organized Solutions helps with that as well.
Yes, I actually do training on that at a corporate level.
Okay, tell us a little bit more about that. So because I would imagine at a corporate setting, any setting really, being late can become a problem if it's consistent.
Right.
And so corporations will invite you in to speak on...
on time management.
Yeah.
How can we get more streamlined and more effective in the time that we're at the office? Not getting to work on time is less of a taboo than it used to be, I think, with the, you know, new ways that people are working and a lot of working from home. But we still have responsibility to show up. And if we show up stressed, road rage behind us, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because, or even just the pressures of arriving late. I know the few times that I do that, it does not feel good.
It does.
I can allow myself to get all amped up before I walk in and I, you know, whatever it is that I have to do.
Right. And I feel the same way. It's like the worst case scenario is the one that's in front of my face. Oh my gosh, I'm late. You know, how does that reflect? And, you know, you're just not in a place of calm and ready to do your best work.
Yeah.
So there's a funny story. My niece was showing up late for high school every day. And her teacher finally called her on it.
I was going to say, they still care whether you're on time or not
yes,
in school.
And rightly so.
Yeah.
But the teacher said, well, what's going on with you? And she says, oh, it's my car. She says, are you having car problems? What's going on with your car? She says, it doesn't start on time.
Oh. Now, if it were my daughter years ago, she did have a car that when you put the key in, you had to really kind of finesse it to get it going. But I would imagine then you have to back up and put a few more minutes into your day if you know you're going to struggle with it. That's cute that it was her car's fault.
Yes, it didn't start on time.
I love it. Well, you know, whatever works. So what's in the future for you? You gave me a little bookmarker here. Can we talk about what's on the horizon for you?
I did. So I set myself a goal to finish my first draft of my book, which is called Simplify. Mm. And I'm not sure the second title, but it'll have something to do with 8 steps for creating a calm environment, something along those lines. So first draft is done. It's sitting resting so I can take a look at it with fresh eyes, and I will get it published this year.
Wonderful. May I share the different tips?
Please do.
And if there's something that you'd like to speak to or give us examples
sure.
as we go through, that'd be great. So really turning chaos into calm. Simplize. Why am I tripping on that today? Simple, organized solutions. The different strategies then. Simplify your life. Identify problem areas. Make me time. Oh boy, is that a big one, especially mm-hmm. as we step into the new year. Plan ahead. Let go of excess. Involve your family. Find help. And you absolutely can do it.
Simplify.
Yes, simplify. Yes. Now, reading those, it seems easy enough. And yet, we still know that many, many people struggle with overwhelm, being too busy, working 24/7, not feeling comfortable in their skin or in their environment. So I really love to see that this is, it's simple.
Well, it's simple, but simple isn't always easy, like you just alluded to.
Yeah.
And some of those require, obviously, a lot of work and introspection, but elbow grease is required.
Absolutely.
Yes. So the goal is actually not to get organized. The goal is to stay organized.
Talk to us about the difference between that.
The difference is one is a process and the other is a lifestyle. Getting organized is like exercising, right? We want to exercise to become healthier. Becoming healthier can become a lifestyle. So getting organized is a process of letting go of the excess, deciding what we want. Staying organized is following through with systems that work in our space and then actually adopting new habits, a commitment to change.
Like with the exercise example, we can jump on the exercise bandwagon or we can start to eat healthier foods. It is only going to benefit us long term if we stay with it. And it becomes, as you mentioned, a lifestyle and a habit.
Right.
Part of just who we are. Mm-hmm. Much the same with organizing, then, is what you're saying.
It's very similar. And I'll also say, if you want to lose 50 pounds in a day, get rid of some things in your house.
I was going to say it's not possible, but you just proved that it is.
It is possible. You will feel like you've lost 50 pounds if your closet is so jam-packed with clothes that you walk in there and feel stressed. You release some of that, let some space in there, you will feel like you've lost weight. You will feel light. You will feel like you can breathe.
And be able to take on whatever the next task is.
Yes. It definitely creates momentum.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Why do you love what you do? Is there a story into how you got started?
You know, I think it actually comes from growing up in a family that was chaotic.
Hmm.
My father was in full-blown alcoholism when I was growing up. We had havoc in our home. And I spent a lot of time with my friends in their homes. And I was very aware of how it felt. So I feel things. And I just knew that if I had to choose between one or the other, I'll take the calm every day of the week. And I think that's where it comes from.
It's interesting. You're reminding me of a time when my parents were going through a divorce, and I think I might have been sixth or seventh grade. And while our home was always organized aesthetically, there was chaos and upheaval with just the family relation and where we were headed as a family. I remember my bedroom becoming my sanctuary, and I would organize and reorganize. And do you create that space for yourself as you talk about your upbringing? I just remember my bedroom really loving it. I'd dust it, I'd vacuum, I'd move things around because I needed to have that sense of calm in the area that I could manage.
Right. It's also control.
It is.
Yes. What can I control? I can control my space. I can control what I allow in my space. So I didn't mean to imply that our house was a cluttered, but the chaos was an emotional chaos.
Sure.
And, you know, some people actually do live in the clutter chaos as well. And sometimes we go the other way. It's like, I want nothing to do with that life. Or we take it on ourselves and we bring that clutter into our own homes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting just to be still and kind of think about, you know, how have you been affected by your upbringing as far as clutter, chaos, tolerance for things in your space, control? Because we can take that to the extreme level of control.
I did as a child. Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember that. I mean, I love the space, but I remember it had to be meticulous and and perfect. And I really had to work years later how to separate that from my professional life and my expectations on my family and my own kids. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yes, because we can take it so far that it becomes stressful, and that was not the intention.
Right. No, it was supposed to be a safety and a sanctuary for me, but if it became over the top, and there were times, I remember. And it's funny, even now today when I'm feeling stressed or overwhelmed, before I can move to a task that really has an end result, maybe business-wise or in relationship with somebody, I have to have my workspace pretty close to immaculate. Mm-hmm. So that I can think better. It just goes hand in hand.
Yes, because there's no distractions for you at that point. You can actually focus on what you're doing.
Yeah.
And again, you know, I want to reiterate that it's really important to understand what your tolerance is for things in your space.
It varies for people.
It varies. Yes.
Yeah.
Very important to know. I do find working with clients, a lot of folks have had the immaculate mom where nothing was ever good enough. And, you know, the white glove treatment and do it over and those kinds of things. And sometimes that manifests in absolute resistance.
To quite the opposite.
And then they feel overwhelmed and there's a whole lot of guilt with not meeting the standard. So it's a really emotionally packed topic, isn't it?
It certainly I hadn't anticipated we would talk about those sorts of things, but they're right here at the surface for me. And it's fascinating to me that you and the work that you do, bringing calm through, or I was going to say turning chaos into calm, it is structural, it's systematic, it's also emotional. I mean, it is multifaceted. It's not just taking a bookshelf or a home office space and getting it more organized. There really has to be flow and freedom, both emotionally and mentally, as well as the actual physical space as well. I would not have known that about the work that you do.
Yeah. And again, that just depends on the client's
situation. I hear that, which I really love and appreciate, because otherwise it's like, you know, the overbearing parent,
right?
Insisting that things be in a certain way. That wouldn't benefit you as a professional organizer. So if they're open and willing to work with you on the more emotional piece, you're available for that. And if they really simply just want it to be organized and take it from there, you have that opportunity.
Absolutely. I can take it to an analytical state where
that's what I'm looking for.
You know, we're looking for how can we make the business flow quicker? What kind of systems can we set up so that, you know, everyone has what they need at their fingertips? Absolutely. I can take it to that level. There's no emotion involved in that. It's strictly systems. But when we have the clients who, when you open the door to me and they have tears in their eyes, you know, they're vulnerable.
Yes.
That has to be handled, in my opinion, with a different mindset.
Yeah. And definitely some finesse.
Yeah.
How does one start to get to work with you? So for our listeners who are not familiar with working with you, what's the first step?
The first step is a phone call, and we just get to know each other. I ask some questions. I hope that you'll ask me questions, because this is a relationship of trust, especially if we're dealing with emotional things. If we're on the business side, it's a little different questioning. What do you need? Where's it hurt? When can we start? Mm-hmm. But, you know, getting to know each other. And then from there, we move into what I call a 60-minute needs assessment, where I actually come out, go through a questionnaire with the client, and we actually tour the problem areas and come up with an action plan. From there, we can move into a package. And I have bundled hours, basically, in my packages.
Right. Because you work with such a wide variety of situations and people and needs, it makes sense that you can assess the situation after having that initial conversation and then say, here's what would make the most sense, and give them a few choices.
Absolutely. And sometimes at that point, the folks are so empowered by just having somebody acknowledge that, yeah, you know, there's a problem here, but here are some ideas that we might tackle. They may just say, you know what, I'm going to try this on my own. Absolutely.
Yeah, you mentioned that DIY, do it yourself.
Do it yourselfers.
That's an option as well.
Absolutely. As well as coaching. If somebody wants to do it on their own and just want to have an accountability partner or someone to give them fresh ideas, I'm working with a client in North Dakota and we're doing it remotely.
Well, and he or she is obviously doing most of it themselves, but you get to be that accountability partner, give suggestions, help enhance the experience, and celebrate with them too, I would imagine.
Thank you for saying that. Yes, I'm big on celebration. You know, kind of what we're talking about is a little heavy at times, but there is a whole lot of celebrating going on. And sometimes it's just emptying that box. And I insist we all yell, woohoo, when we do that. It's huge.
It is big.
So yes, I'm very big on encouragement. It really does keep the bike moving down the road. You know, if we stop moving on our bike, we fall over. So pats on the back keep us moving forward.
And not everybody is comfortable doing that for themselves, or is in an environment where other people are celebrating them as well, especially if there's change, even if it's positive change. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is going to jump on that horse with you and be excited about how different things are going to function.
Right. And, you know, again, I'm going to go back to my 60-minute needs assessment. One of the things we figure out is what's the motivation. So if the motivation is my husband says or my wife says, we have to be really clear about what we want going forward, because that often doesn't last. It's kind of like someone telling you you need to lose 40 pounds or else you need to lose clutter in the closet or else. That's a way different relationship with wanting to be organized.
Completely different. It's got to be for them and or from your perspective, at least understand the motivation so you can help them take ownership for it as well.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Go through some of those different waters with people.
Yeah. Yeah. So how can our listeners get a hold of you? Where do they find you on the internet as well as email? What's available for us?
So my website is professionalorganizeraz.com and my phone is 480-382-1085. Of course, I'm on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. And yeah, I'm all over the place. Happy to help.
I know that you've been featured on some of our local TV and radio networks as well. Is there a particular segment that you really enjoy doing?
Oh, gosh, it's also
fun. I know you've done plenty of them.
Yes. Gosh, I wouldn't say there's a particular one that stands out. They're all so different. But I just love sharing the magic. Although when I say magic, there is work involved with getting organized.
Right.
There's no magic here. But really sharing the ideas that with a few little changes in our lives and sometimes bigger changes in our lives, we really can have a better, more peaceful, calm existence.
And I know that's why these media outlets continue to invite you back. I always enjoy seeing, because we are on Facebook together and LinkedIn and Instagram, you name it. I do see frequently that you've been invited back again and again. And I always love to see that. Speaks volumes about your clientele and obviously the skill set and what you bring to your clients. So
thank you, Karen.
Love seeing that. Thank you so much for being here today. And I would love to have you back again when the book is ready.
Yay.
Looking forward to that. Again, we've been with Andrea Brundage, professional organizer and bringer of calm with Simple Organized Solutions, LLC. And you've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, Some Media Leans Left, Some Lean Right and Wheeling Business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.